Hi, and welcome to today's episode, which is all about how to silence your inner critic. Now, we all have that inner critic, don't we? That little voice in our head that says, you can't do this, you're not good enough, why don't you stop before you even start? So I want to talk about this because I attended a class with Caroline Donahue from the Secret Library podcast, and she gave some great advice on how we can, if not silence our critic, learn to live with our critic and use it to our advantage. And she also encourages us to find our creative self and spend a little bit more time with that side of us. So let's find out how. Welcome to the Turning Readers into Writers podcast, where we teach beginner writers how to find the time and the confidence to write their first novel. I'm your host, Emma Desi, and I'm very excited that you're here. Thank you for joining me today, because if you've been longing to write your novel for forever, then this is the place to be. Think of this as your weekly dose of encouragement, of hand-holding, and general cheerleading as you figure out how you're going to write your first novel. Trust me, as a mum of three young kids, I know how tricky it can be to tuck some time aside for yourself on a regular basis. And even when you do find that spare 5 minutes, you can feel so overwhelmed that no writing gets done. Trust me, I have been there. But this podcast is going to help you in practical ways, because once a week I'll be delivering an episode that gives you steps to building a writing routine, encouragement to build your confidence, and cheerleading until you reach the end. Okay, let's start. Hello and welcome back. So today I wanted to share with you a bit about a very interesting class I attended by Caroline Donahue on the inner critic versus the creative self. Caroline is an author herself, and she also hosts a podcast. The podcast is called The Secret Library Podcast. So we all know what the inner critic is. It's that loud voice that goes off when something unexpected happens to us. And it's there as a preservation mechanism based on the beliefs that we've developed when we're young children. So it's that voice that says, no, don't do it. That's dangerous. That's unsafe. Stay where you are. Don't move. That critic wants you to be safe. And is very, very persistent. The critic, the inner critic, is much louder and much more persistent than the quieter creative self. So as I said, the creative self is a much more introverted character, but in some ways is a much more confident character than the inner critic. But because it's so quiet, because it's so unassuming, we don't really focus on it. So it's easier to ignore that that creative self, but that is the one that makes the suggestions. It's the one that comes up with the good ideas about our writing. So the inner critic, when you are writing, when you want to sit down and write this new manuscript, it's the one that's saying to you, this is rubbish. No one's going to read this book. This is a dreadful story. You've no idea what the plot is. You don't know your characters. Your dialogue is atrocious. Give it up now. But Caroline Donahue asks us to think of our creative selves as being like an iceberg. And at the very top, right on the pinnacle of that iceberg, is the critic itself. And it dominates that little bit that we see above the waterline. And that bit we see above the waterline, that's the conscious bit of our thoughts and ideas. And the little critic that sits on that pinnacle, that's the voice that wants you to achieve perfection and be the best at everything you do, but also reminds you that you can't achieve perfection and you'll never be any good at anything you do. Donahue says it's that little tiny voice, that little tiny critic at the top of the iceberg that means you have an unenjoyable writing life and a very unsustainable creativity. However, below the waterline is the creative self. And just like a real iceberg, that's the biggest bit of our brain. That's the subconscious. And it's also the bit that we usually ignore. So that subconscious bit of your brain, that's the one that contains all the creativity, but your conscious brain, you know, that critic, it stampedes all over it, tramples it underfoot and leaves it quiet. And so we never pay it any attention. And where does the critical voice come from? Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's that voice that appears when you're trying to do something new or unexpected. It comes from those beliefs that you developed, usually people say between the ages of 4 and 7, certainly up to the age of 7, 8. Those beliefs are based on all of our life experiences, the memories, the things we don't remember, but that did have a very powerful impact on us. And they've made their way right into our core belief system. And so it's really hard to ignore those beliefs or to change them. So rather than try to change them, Donahue suggests that you actually try and engage with your inner critic. She says that if you listen to it, if you make it feel valuable, if you make it feel valued, then you can calm its little voice down and you can live with it in a much easier way. And she reminds us, she says, remember, you'll never satisfy your inner critic. No matter what you tell it, it's always going to want you to do more. So did you do a BA in English? Well, now you need that MA in creative writing. Did you get the MA? Well, now you need the PhD. Or it might say to you, do you use a certain pen to write your first draft? Well, you need to use a different pen, and then you're going to write the best book ever. Oh, you want to write that story? No. This story will make you famous. So no matter what you do, you'll never 100% satisfy that inner critic. It's always going to come back with a new idea, a new way of helping you procrastinate, a new way of stopping you moving forward. So what Donahue is saying is that we need to not ignore that inner critic, but we need to start re-engaging more fully with the quieter, creative self. She says that's the relationship that you need to work on, but it's not always available to you. The creative self, you'll know this yourself, it usually emerges when you're doing something else. Perhaps you're cooking, maybe you're knitting, maybe you're doing the washing up. It's a well-known anecdote that people get their best ideas in the shower. And that's because they're not really thinking about what they're writing about or what they're worrying about. They're thinking about something else, perhaps the day ahead, a conversation that was had over breakfast, something else. And the fact that their brain is switched off, the fact that the brain is thinking about something else, that gives the inner creative self room to breathe and room to blossom. So how can you start to engage your creative self on a more regular basis? Well, Donahue suggests 4 ways that you can do this. And the first way she suggests is by moving your body. Now, I for one hate to work out, but I'm happy to go for a walk and go out and about in the garden, for example. So she suggests that, you know, if you've got a problem and you can't work it out, she says, don't sit and grind it out, but, you know, write the problem down and then go off and do something else, whether that be for a walk, maybe for a run, doing some yoga or even the ironing, something that is moving your body and moving your conscious brain onto something else. So then you'll be leaving space for your unconscious brain to solve the problem in the meantime. The second thing she suggests is play, being playful. She says, think of something you enjoy doing and do more of it. And I know that sounds kind of really simple, but it is. You know, if you enjoy singing, if you enjoy drawing, doing jigsaw puzzles or, I don't know, model making, for example, then spend more time doing that. And again, it's going to be something creative, something you enjoy, something that you consider playful, and switching your conscious brain away from the work in hand, your work in progress, and allow your subconscious to solve out that little problem that you've got going on with your plot, for example. And she says, if you're not sure what it is you enjoy, then journal about it, you know, write about the things that you used to do as a child, for example, and what comes up. What was it that you enjoyed doing at the age of 8? Because often what we enjoy doing at the age of 8 is something that we will enjoy doing as an adult. And maybe you can incorporate those sort of childhood games that you enjoyed into your adult life. She gives a nice example, actually. She talks about when she was a child and she used to go to her granny's house, and her granny had a little powder room. in the, just beside the front door. And for whatever reason, she used to go in there and use the mirror and pretend that she was doing a radio program. So she'd be looking at herself in the mirror and playing both the host and the guest. And something she enjoys doing now, she says, is hosting a podcast. So she's been able to indulge in that imaginary childhood dream, but in a more productive way as an adult. So maybe there's something that you enjoy doing too. You know, maybe you used to do mixtapes, if any of you remember that. So maybe that's something you could do now, that you might want to put some playlists together on Spotify, something like that. And whatever it is that you enjoy and you consider to be playful, see how you can incorporate that into your adult life. She encourages us with number three to use our senses and suggests things like candles and soft lighting. I certainly use essential oils in my own office to help me feel good and help me feel, helps me feel relaxed and it helps me feel kind of open. But you know, it might just be putting comfortable clothes on. That's a nice way, a tactile way of feeling good, of engaging your senses and helping them be more stimulated. Because when you feel comfortable or special or glamorous in your place of writing, then it's going to help you feel more creative as well. And then the fourth suggestion she has is to use what she calls unconscious gateways. Now, by this, Caroline Donahue means using things like tarot cards or journaling, even meditation or using the law of attraction. That can be a way of accessing that subconscious part of your brain. Tarot is something I've only come across recently and in fact learned about it as part of my author accelerator over in my Facebook group. Marielle Smith came in to talk to us about how tarot can be used in your creative life. So it's very new to me. But Donahue suggests that this is something you can use as a signpost to your creative self to respond to. So she says, you know, it's not a way of predicting the future, but it is a nice way of accessing the subconscious. So how can you make your writing more fun? Well, Donahue does echo Elizabeth Gilbert with this, and she emphasizes that your creative life must be a fun life. And she encourages you to move away from that idea that you've got to be hugely disciplined and it's just a matter of willpower, that you've got to sit down at your desk every day and you've got to do it. But instead, she suggests that you move away from that and you think about the creative side of it, the fun side of it. Because if you make your writing life more fun, then you're less likely to procrastinate. If it's fun, you're much more likely to write. As well as making it fun while you're writing, she also emphasises it's important to replenish yourself after the writing. So when you've finished a first draft, for example, make sure you do something fun that is uplifting and spiritually refreshing. It's what Joanna Penn calls refilling the creative well. So look at your own writing routine. You know, how can you make it more fun? Myself, for example, when I'm needing a little bit of a lift, I've got a bottle of bubbles, and when I need to, I'll blow those bubbles all over my desk. And I don't know why, it just gives me a quick thrill. It makes me feel playful, makes my office feel a slightly more fun place, less serious, and so I always enjoy that. So Donahue concludes that, you know, you're never going to truly, truly conquer your critic. And she says, nor do you want to, because you need your critic. Your critic helps keep you balanced. But what you do want to do is acknowledge it, make it feel valued, and then say, thank you, critic, thank you for your input, but I'm going to write this book anyway. And equally, you need to give your creative self the space to grow and to bloom, and you can do that with one of the four suggestions she makes. This is an important relationship, and she wants you to develop it, to have fun with it, and see it grow. At the very end, she does caution that this is an ongoing process, so you can carry on listening to your critic, you know, do keep listening to it, listen to what it's saying, make it feel valued, as I mentioned, but then continue to balance that out with the fun. So keep it going. So I hope that's given you a little bit more of an insight into how you can If not, silence your inner critic. You can work with your inner critic, or should I say perhaps work alongside your inner critic. It's never going to go away altogether, and you do need it there to help your life stay balanced. But you do want to be more mindful of your creative self, that quieter part of yourself, and start finding ways that you can allow it to come out of its shell a bit and show itself more and let its personality shine out. And you can do that, you know, with play, being playful in your life, using your five senses, moving your body, and then those unconscious gateways that Caroline Donahue talks about, like the tarot and the journaling and the meditation. All right, let me know how you get on. Let me know if you integrate any of these into your writing life, if one or more of them feel that they are doable for you and they give you a little kick when you're sitting down to write. But until next time, take care. Bye. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found that helpful and inspirational. Now, don't forget to come on over to Facebook and join my group, Turning Readers into Writers. It is especially for you if you are a beginner writer who is looking to write their first novel. If you join the group, you will also find a free cheat sheet there called 3 Secret Hacks to Write with Consistency. So go to emmadesi.com/turningreadersintowriters, hit join. Can't wait to see you in there. All right. Thank you. Bye bye.